Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. This is Yahweh's Covenant People. We've been trying to get Talk Shoe started, but it doesn't work. And I think it's being phased out. So we're having all kinds of problems with that. And also trying to find the chat room on Your Folk Radio and can't find that. So let me see if I can real quickly locate that. Okay, chat room not found. So Paul English told me that we have a chat room, but I can't find it. Sorry. So anyway, we're going to continue with Galatians part 2. And since I can't start the call on TalkShoe, everybody should know to come to Your Folk Radio, and it'll be in our archives. And I think we better double-check our Eurofolk Radio archives to see if the archives are gone as well. So the show is listed, but I can't get it started. So let's continue. Folks, last week we started with Galatians chapter 1. I'm just going to do a quick review here, Steve. The number one, the Galatians were Israelites who had actually probably of Benjamin, but could have been Gael means exile. And so they were Israelites who called themselves Gaels, and because they were in southern France, they were called Gauls. And many of these Israelite Gauls moved back to near Palestine in Turkey, and that's where the Galatians were. And these are the Galatians that are Asia Minor, people called it at that time. These are the people to whom Paul was writing this epistle. All the epistles Paul wrote, with the possible exception of Hebrews, was to a particular group of Israelite people. Wouldn't you agree with that, Pastor Steve?
Absolutely, yes. The apostle to the dispersion.
Right.
These are Israelites in dispersion. This Gentile business has got everybody confused. It would be much, much better to the Israel nations if it was translated Israel nations.
Right.
Because it's to the goyim or ethnos or ethne.
Right.
And it also says in verse 16, bringing the good news to the race.
Right, right.
The race of Israel.
Yes.
And that's... which is of the race of Adam. Mm-hmm. All Israelites are of Adam, Caucasian people that can blush, but not all Adamites are of Israel.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, all Israelites are Adamites, but not all Adamites are Israelites. We have Hamites, Japhethites, we have Slavs, we have all different categories under Adamite, and Israelite is only one of them, okay? But it's
as everybody moved out from the time of Noah, they were all Adamites. The seed of Noah was all Adamites, and they founded all these different nations, and in the beginning, They were all purebred Caucasian people. And then, they messed around with the daughters of the land. They had some half-breed brats.
Right.
they started worshiping the local gods, quote-unquote. And it just went downhill from there.
Right.
And these people that were at one time close kindred had become enemies of what would become Israel, because now they weren't purebred Adamites, they were mutts.
Right.
And the nature of the mutt is against the purebred.
Of course,
The mutts don't like purebred Adamites.
Yes.
And Israel is all purebred Adamites. If there is any admixture whatsoever of non-Adamite seed line, it kills the Holy Spirit within that being, and they are no longer of Israel.
Amen. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Another point that we made last time was pointing out that the word brethren comes from the Greek adelphos, which means from the same womb. So Paul is not talking to all races. He's not saying, oh, all you people in Asia and Africa and Southern America, I'm your brother. No, he's not.
No. They were not universalists.
No.
That's modern Christianity that is the universalist.
Right.
That was not the disciples of Yeshua Messiah.
Yes.
This is something that the enemy has entered into the seminary schools and through their infiltration, and has taught these errors over and over and over. And if you lie long enough, people will believe it's the truth. And that is what has happened.
Right. And so by modern interpolation, and interpolation means a false definition of a word, because the Greek adelphos means from the same womb, and we can go back to Sarah or Rebecca or Jacob's four wives for that same womb. And no other womb counts, because we're talking about the direct descendants of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and his four wives. Anybody's not directly descended from those six wombs cannot possibly be included in this term adelphos, correct?
No, they're not of the bloodline. They may be distant kindred and getting more distant all the time the more they mix.
Right.
But if they were not of the specific seed line, and the reason for that is Yahweh chose a specific seed line to prepare for the coming of Yeshua Messiah, and he made things happen. He made the situation between Jacob and Esau. So Jacob would get the birthright and Jacob would have the inheritance because Esau was disqualified. He wasn't just right. And then his nature came out in rebelliousness against the commands of his parents. You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And he married Hittites and Hivites and whatever else was hanging around. And Yehuda did the same thing. Judah, he had a Canaanite wife and had a bunch of half-breed mutts, but they all died because Yahweh killed them, except for Shelah.
Right.
And he wouldn't take Tamar as a wife, so she tricked Yehuda into getting her pregnant by masquerading as a harlot.
Right.
And she was pure blood, and he was pure blood, and the only pure blood sons that Yehuda had was Zerach and Peretz.
Mm-hmm.
And Peretz is the line from which Yeshua Messiah comes.
Amen.
Yahweh will engineer this. You are not going to thwart his will, no matter how much your earthly pride says that you can. Oh, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Oh, really? Over to you.
Yeah. Okay, and the other point we made, that the word heathen in verse 16 is a horrible translation, and we'll get into a more detailed discussion of the Greek word ethnos, where it's also falsely translated as the word Gentile. But let me give people the definition here. The Greek word here is ethnos, and it's a race, as of the same habit, that is, a tribe. Okay, so it's a race or tribe or nation is what the Strong's Concordance, I'm reading from the ESORT definition, but Strong's Concordance simply says race combination. But then it adds a foreign or non-Jewish one, or by implication, a non-Israelite one. Now, which is it, Steve? Is it Israel or is it not Israel? Which is it? Can a single word mean itself and its opposite?
Well, there was the word was used for the race of Israel.
Yes.
And in the context of certain passages, the same word was used for non-Israel races.
Right.
Because only that word would apply.
Yeah. Because,
they cannot put heathen in. They cannot put Gentile in. They need to let it say what it says and stop tampering with it, mm-hmm. which is what churchianity has done over the years.
Right.
And Judeo-Christians have built entire doctrines on these false translations.
Right. Absolutely.
Like the word Jehovah. That's the vowel point thing where they messed with the Masoretic vowel points underneath the word Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with Yehoweh, where they translated that as Jehovah. That's a non-word. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's Masoretic Yahweh. Word. Yeah. It's a Talmudic word is what it is.
Well,
Jehovah.
The titles that they've applied to our Father are many.
Yes.
But there is only one holy name, and that is
yes.
Yahweh.
Amen.
And they've called our Redeemer Jesus.
Right.
Which is not his name at all. His name is Yahshua, one word,
yes.
Yahshua, which
right.
means Yahweh is salvation, because all through the Old Testament, Yahweh says, I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior, over and over and over. And he drives it home. Some chapters,
yeah. Yahweh
he just
saves.
Keeps repeating it.
Right. Yahweh
and he
saves.
Appeared in the form of a man to redeem his chosen people. And there is only one name for the Messiah, and that is Yahshua. And anybody else that says anything else is a liar.
That's right.
That's how it is.
Well, it's mistaken. People don't realize that the word Jesus is a transliteration from the Greek, okay? And what's a transliteration is merely taking letters in the object language, in this case English, and making the object language sound like the original language. So the original language, the Greek, was Jesus, okay? What people forget is that the English language did not have the letter J until the mid-1600s, okay?
Right.
So the original pronunciation was Jesus, okay? Just like the Germans and most other the Romance languages all pronounce it still the same way, Jesus.
Hebrew has no J.
No. So the letter J came into the English language very late in history, and then it changed to Jesus. So the etymology of the word Jesus comes from the, as you pointed out, the Hebrew, Yahshua, okay? And the Aramaic is Yeshua. It changed from a to a eh, Yahshua to Yeshua. The etymology is still from the Hebrew, Jesus, and the Greek reflects that, but the English adds the J, the modern English adds the J, which means, and now that modern English has no meaning. It's just it's a respelling of the word into English so that the word sounds similar to the original word. That's a transliteration.
Copy of a copy.
Right. But it's just mimicking the sounds. It doesn't have anything to do with the meaning. That's what I'm trying to get at, and I think that's what you're trying to get at, too. Okay.
Well, I had Amish friends when I was living south of here and hung out with them all the time. And one guy's name was Jacob, and that's what the English called him. But
right.
All the other Amish called him Jacob.
Right. They maintained the Hebrew.
they use the Y because the German language, that's Pennsylvania Dutch is what they call it. They call a lot of things a lot of things. But the problem today is the repeated mistranslations and the teaching of the mistranslations in the seminary school which transfers to the pulpit when these guys become preachers, which transfers to the ears and the memory of the congregation when they hear it. And it's the old monkey see, monkey do. And it's a repeating over and over and over through generations of errors. And it's an uphill battle for us trying to counteract these hundreds and hundreds of years of errors that have been taught all the way from Europe and tell people the truth. And it's been ingrained in them since the birth. And they have a real hard time grasping it. And then they dig in their heels and become stubborn and say, oh, I don't want to hear that. But one by one, Yahweh is calling people out.
Yes.
People are becoming called out ones. And their eyes are opened and their ears are opened. And they try to talk to their family, and even their family resists them and casts them out.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
It's not easy. It's not a popularity contest. It is the harvesting of the harvest.
Of the Israelites.
Workers, the workers are busy. We're trying to harvest.
That's right. That's right.
But let them that have ears hear.
Yes.
And those that don't want to hear, I grieve for you, but I'm going to shake the dust off my sandals and move on.
Right. Well, Jesus said, I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He also said that there are people when he's giving the sermons, there are people listening that I do not intend to convert. And when he sent the apostles out, he sent them out. He said, do not go to Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we have three clear instructions from Yahshua that we're only supposed to preach to Israelites.
Yes, okay. I don't intend to send Bibles to Africa.
No, neither do I.
when all peoples on this planet are under the authority of Yahweh, they may not know him or call upon him. They are not his people, but they will obey him or perish.
That's right.
When Yahshua comes back, because it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And those that don't, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It tells you what's coming. It's not going to be a bake sale. It's going to be ugly.
Right.
Because the grace period has ended at that point, and the time of wrath and retribution will be in effect.
Yes.
And you either are a sheep or you are a goat.
Yes.
Make a choice. You have to choose. I cannot shove it down your throat. I can only tell you. And once you've heard it, you can't unhear it. You can either act on it or not. That's up to you. It's your eternal life that you're going to throw away.
If you don't act on it correctly. But one more point here on the word ethnos, and it is a race or a tribe. A race and a tribe is always composed of homogeneous people. It's not composed of multiracial people, okay? A race means a homogeneous people. A tribe is a homogeneous people. Now, then they give this false definition, specifically a foreign or non-Jewish one, and we're going to find out that this is a horrible translation and it is not justified. And so this is a interpolation that they have added. After giving the correct definition, they actually give a definition which is the exact opposite of what they have just stated. And then they give examples, Gentile, heathen, nation, people. Well, you can't use the same word to identify a people and not those people, right? It's ridiculous. It's either the people or it isn't. The word nation refers to a people, not to a non-people, okay? And this is the ridiculous redefinition that has occurred among the multiculturalists. And we'll get into this word because next, the same word is going to be translated as Gentile in chapter 2. Let me pick up where we left off. Verse 18. I'll start with 17 because that's where Paul starts about, he was just explaining that he had this experience and went to Damascus, neither where he was blinded and ultimately saw the light. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other of the apostles I saw none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Now, by all these places, he's intercoursing with Israelites, not with Arabs, not with blacks, not with Orientals. He's intercoursing with Israelites. Verse 22, and was unknown by face to the churches. Again, churches should be congregations, not churches, of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard...
I have a different... thing in my scriptures for the Scripture Institute. It says the assemblies of Gauda.
Yeah, that's better than churches. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's an assembly. It's a group. It's not a denomination. It's not a hierarchical church like the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church or Baptist Church. Okay, those things can be multinational and multicultural, whereas what we're talking about here is an assembly of Israelites in Judea. Okay? That's what this verse is telling us. Which were in Christ. Verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. In other words, he's admitting that he used to persecute the church, and they're all very grateful now that Paul has converted. Correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated with them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Okay, here's the first instance of the word Gentile. But Stephen, it's exactly the same word that was translated
1484 in the Greek.
Yeah. Now, it's not translated heathen here. It's translated Gentile. Give us quickly your opinion of what the problem with the word Gentile.
Well, it's become a generic word, and the preponderance of opinion is because of the lobbying by the synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
That is that it means non-Jew. That is not so. It is a race or a nation or a people.
Right.
And bringing the good news, which I proclaim among the nations. Now, that means Hebrew nations in context.
Sure.
Here, Israelite nations.
Yeah.
Like America and England and Germany and Scotland and Ireland and France and Denmark and Sweden, etc., etc., etc.
Descendants of the Israelites.
All those that migrated into Europe through the Caucasus Mountains. Yeah. And we're known as Caucasians.
Yeah. I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's a very specific charge, and it's an exclusive company. It's Israelites exclusively. So now I want to give some examples here of why the word Gentile should not be used. It should always, in my opinion, be translated as race or nation. Tribe is good, people is also good, but never can be translated as heathen unless the context is specifically talking about non-Israelites.
That is correct.
Okay? So the context must drive the translation. And in Galatians 1:16, there is no justification for translating ethnos as heathen, because he is preaching to the Galatians who are Israelites. Okay? So what they have done, they have translated ethnos to make it sound like he's talking to a group of non-Israelites. All right?
Well, what it says in mine is to reveal his son in me that I might bring him the good news to the race. Now, it would be better if you removed the and to our
right.
Race.
Well, the race. We know which race the gospel was preached to. Race is a very good translation there. Heathen is a horrible translation, as you can see.
Oh, yeah.
As you can see, Pastor Steve, the word race is the exact opposite of heathen in this context.
Yeah,
is it not?
Heathenism is a practice.
Right.
He was not talking to bring the good news to the practice.
Right.
He was the race.
Right. Well, Jesus came to Israel. He didn't come to the other nations, as he himself said. So, but since everybody understands by the word heathen to mean non-Israelites, the word race is telling us, well, he came to preach to the race. What? The race of Israel. Not to the non-Israelites. And this is the confusion that's created by translating the word ethnos in these various different ways. It should not be translated in these various different ways. It should be translated as race or nation, I would say 95% of the time, because there's only a few instances where the context drives it into non-Israelite territory. Okay? So everybody has to keep that in mind. And also here, because you just requoted Galatians 1, 16. Let's get back now to Galatians 2:2. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among. Now here's the word Gentiles. Why isn't it the race? Why shouldn't it be translated as race here as well?
Because the people that tampered with the scriptures don't want to signify that Israel is a separate race, which does not include them. Mm-hmm. They are not qualified as the race of Israel because they are of mixed bloodline. They are, as I said in the beginning, mutts. And a mutt is not pure Israel. You don't get a golden retriever and breed it with some old raggedy hound and say, oh, we got golden retriever puppies. Well, no, you don't. You've got mutts.
Mm-hmm.
They're part hound and part golden retriever. Nice dogs, but they're still dogs.
Right.
And we're talking about dogs here.
Yes, right.
Which is a derogatory term for non-Adamic people.
Right, exactly.
They did not give the children's food to the dogs. The dogs will have to pick up the crumbs from the children's table, if their heart is in them to obey, they can have some of the crumbs. But they are not children of the promise. They are not the covenant people, and this book is not to them.
It wasn't
they
written to them.
The benefits from the book if they obey.
Right,
but
and if
they
bless
obey,
us,
they have destruction.
And if they bless us, right. Now you're, of course,
bless your blessers and curse your cursers.
Right. So now here the word Gentile in chapter 2. I just want to run through some verses, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and see if the definition non-Jew, which the Jews have trained us that whenever we see the word Gentile, it's supposed to refer to non-Jews. However, the Hebrew word is always goy, and the Greek word is always ethnos. But even here, Pastor Steve, there's a problem because it's translated as Gentiles in the plural, which in the Greek is ethne, or ethne, E-T-H-N-E, and that means races or peoples. So why have they pluralized a singular word?
Well, it's like goyim. That's plural of goy.
Right.
And even Israel is called, I will make you a mighty goy and the father of many goyim nations.
Right.
Israelite nations.
Yes. Well, that's the verses I was going to quote. Genesis 12, 1 and 2. Now Yahweh said unto Abraham, and I will make of thee a great nation, goy.
A great
now,
goy.
Now let's translate it the way the Jews say, well, if it means, if they can translate it to mean Israel and non-Israel, why hasn't it been translated? And I will make of thee a great non-Jewish nation. Well, I mean, if it says specifically non-Jewish, so why don't we give specifically non-Jewish right here? Because it makes absolutely no sense. That's why.
It's okay? Out of context.
It's totally a, and Genesis 17:5, and a father of many nations have I made thee. This is correctly translated, but the Jews tell us that the goyim are non-Israelites. So, a father of many non-Israelites have I made thee. That's what the Jews tell us the definition is. All right? That's ridiculous. Genesis 25:23, and Yahweh said unto her, Rebekah, two goyim are in thy womb. Now, here's a real problem, Pastor Steve, because we know that one goy was Jacob and his descendants, which are the Israelites, and the other goy was Esau and his descendants, the Edomites.
Much.
Well, which is it? Which is it? Are they non-Israelites or are they Israelites? The Jews are telling us that the word goy means both. Okay? Israelites and non-Israelites. Well, in this case, it does. It means two nations, Jacob and Israel. I mean, sorry, and Esau. Okay? You cannot arbitrarily translate the word goy any way you please. You have to use the context to determine which is which, okay? In this case, the two nations are in thy womb. One of them is Israel, the other is Edom. Okay? They translated this correctly by using the word nations.
Well, okay. These people are stuck in the King James cult, a lot of them.
Yes.
All the King James is the perfect word of God.
Right.
It's unaltered. It's as it was written. Oh, please. And they've been preaching that over and over and over. And there are so many errors, blatant errors, in the King James Version.
Yes.
It is.
Oh, for
it
sure.
is. And the most accurate version that I've seen in print is the Scriptures. By the Scripture Research Institute, and they have a new version out since I have this one. They removed all of the word Gentile, and they have nations.
Good.
Or
excellent.
Ethnos or ethne. Wrote them a big long letter, and I said, you've done all this work. Now get that word Gentile out of there, and they did it.
Yes. Outstanding.
So, and they're back ordered, and I'm going to order one of these new ones, and they still use the word man generically.
Oh, okay.
And
it should be
there's
Adamite.
All different kinds of men, and
right.
if it's Adam, it refers to a specific race of people. The first Adam in the Genesis is the race of Adam. That's with a small a. And then there was a specific Adam with the Hebrew article ha.
Right.
Ha Adam, which means the Adam, which is a proper name.
Yes. Okay.
And they have translated men where they need to specify
Adamites.
Talking to
right.
Adam.
Adamites or Ish or Enosh.
He is,
yeah.
Yahshua was not the son of man. He was the son of Adam.
Right.
And in this book, it says the son of Adam.
Hooray. Hooray. An accurate translation. I'm just going to pick one more from the Old Testament here. Jeremiah 31:36. If those ordinances, the sun and the moon, depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Now, if we translate Goy here as Gentile, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a Gentile before me. And if you interpret Gentile as non-Israelites, it makes absolutely no sense. So you cannot arbitrarily translate this word as Gentiles and assume that you're going to make sense. Now, and from a couple from the New Testament, for he loved, this is Luke 7:5, for he loved our nation and has built for us a synagogue. This could be translated race. For he loved our race and has built for us a synagogue. Now let's translate it the way the Jews suggest we should translate
it. What verse is that?
This is Luke 7:5.
7:5. Okay.
Okay. For he loved our Gentiles and has built for them a synagogue. If you translate ethnos as Gentile here, it changes the meaning of who's being addressed.
Here it says, for he loves our nation.
Yes.
And has built the congregation for us.
Yes, very good. All right. Or the assembly for us. Mm-hmm. And now Luke 23:2. We found, this is the Pharisees talking about Yahshua, we found this fellow perverting the nation. Was he perverting the Gentiles? Okay, you see how silly this word Gentile is. It has absolutely no place in the Bible, and as you correctly pointed out, this book called the Scriptures is absolutely correct in removing it entirely. Okay.
Yep, that's based out of South Africa.
Yes, okay. And Arnold Kennedy has this to say about the word Gentile. We just have to admit that there is no such word in all of Scripture which matches up with the common acceptance of the word Gentiles. We can now see that Goy and ethnos can mean both Israelites and non-Israelites, as we found from Rebecca's womb came Israelites and non-Israelites.
That's correct.
You have to understand the context, and you must determine which it means from the context. There's no other way.
And it's the same with Goy or Goyim in the Old Testament.
That's right.
It has to be taken in context. Who
right.
are they speaking about in the preceding verses?
Okay, so let me read Galatians 2:2 as it should be translated. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the race, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Let me take a look at the word Greek here.
That's Hellen.
And
an Israelite that was living among the
right.
Greeks.
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, here from the Esort definition, a Hellen, a Grecian, or inhabitant of Hellas. By extension, a Greek-speaking person. In other words, is a Greek-speaking Israelite. That's who Titus was. He was not a heathen, and he was not a Gentile. He was an Israelite living in Greece.
That is correct.
Okay.
And a lot of these people were coming back to the pure worship of Yahweh.
Yes.
Through the Holy Spirit, because they were called when they heard about the redemption of Israel through Yahshua. These were not non-Israelites.
Yes, exactly.
So That's the whole deal. No matter how much they try to make it so.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's see what Paul is trying to say here. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in secretly to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. What bondage? To force
the bondage of the laws of the Pharisees. They wanted
there you
to take
go.
Them back to the Pharisaical laws. They were already under the Torah and always will be until heaven and earth pass away. Not one jot or tittle of the Torah will fail. The Torah is the law, and the law teaches us about sin so we can change our lives to be pleasing to Yahweh. Over to you.
Right. So he's saying that there's some people who snuck in, Judaizers. There's Judaizers who snuck in who say that physically you must be physically circumcised, and that's all that's required to be a Judahite. But Paul totally contradicts that notion in Romans chapter 2, where he says a physical circumcision is not enough. You must be circumcised in the heart, which is the acceptance of the sacrifice and the redemption at the cross, which was prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 31, said, I will give you a new heart. I will write my laws in your heart. And the Jews have never done that. Okay? But they practice physical circumcision. So Paul tells them that these people who merely practice physical circumcision and have not accepted Jesus as the Messiah can't be Jews or Judahites, properly translated. Correct?
Well, yes. They need to circumcise their mind. They can just cut their head off at the neck.
Yeah, there you go. All right, verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. What Paul is trying to say here, and which the churches get all completely wrong, and I think also the King James translators don't understand either. What he's trying to say here is that the Israelites of the dispersion who gave up the practice of physical circumcision, being still Israelites, were redeemed at the cross, whether circumcised or uncircumcised. Isn't that what Paul is really getting at here?
That's right. My translation says, to these we did not yield in subjection, not even for an hour, so that the truth of the good news remains with you.
Okay. So the Israelites of the dispersion, Paul refers to as the uncircumcision. He does not mean by them uncircumcised Orientals, Indians, blacks. He means uncircumcised Israelites of the dispersion. That's what Paul means by the term uncircumcision. Okay?
Yeah.
He does not mean non-Israelites. He means uncircumcised Israelites. Okay? Verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person, for he doesn't respect your status. You're either law-abiding or not law-abiding. That's your status.
How much money you got.
Right, exactly. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. This is a cumbersome translation. I don't like
it. But from those who were esteemed to be whatever, what they were, it makes no difference to me. Elohim shows no partiality, for those who were esteemed contributed not to me.
Right. Okay.
That is
a much better translation. The King James here is very cumbersome.
It's terrible.
It's very terrible. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Okay, so here Paul is, but now let's go back a little here. Mm-hmm. Because these Galatians, although of the dispersion, appears to me, you know, he's addressing these people about the subject of circumcision. If they weren't part of the circumcision, if they weren't Judahites or Benjamites, what difference would it make? Why would Paul be telling them this?
That's right. It wouldn't matter.
Right. It wouldn't matter. Okay. So he's telling them this because, as we found out, these Galatians, some of them may have been practicing circumcision and others may not. But they're still Israelites either way. Okay. That's what he's trying to explain. Verse 7, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. In other words, Paul is saying that if you're an Israelite, if you're an uncircumcised Israelite, and most of these were of the dispersion, the redemption still belongs to you. And if you're circumcised as the house of Judah and house of Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin were, the redemption applies to them too. Okay?
Yes, and Paul and Peter had different works.
Right.
They weren't assigned the same tasks.
Right. Actually, Peter was assigned to Babylon, where there was still a remnant of the house of Judah that was taken into captivity way back when.
And some of the other.
Yeah, and some of the others were there as well.
They had hangers on. Even in Jerusalem, there were those that were not of Judah. They were some of the other tribes.
Right.
They didn't get them all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so
the lame and some of the workers, they stayed
right
there, and they had children. They were a great minority among the Judahites.
Right.
But they were still of Israel.
And this
now that Israel is all back together.
Yeah, brought back together.
We are taking the message to all Israelites.
Yeah, circumcised and uncircumcised.
Circumcised and uncircumcised.
Thank
circumcise
you.
Circumcise your heart.
Yes. Verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, meaning the house of Judah, and which means the Judahite tribe and the Benjamite tribe. That's what this means, okay? The same was mighty in me toward the race.
No, here it's nations.
Okay.
Because Paul traveled all over to the different Israelite nations. He went to the Hellenes.
Okay.
He went to Great Britain. He was here in Galatia. All these nations were of Israel. Same way originally the United States was an Israelite nation. There are a remnant of Israel here, but now it's mostly mutts.
Right. Well, it's still the same word ethnos. So here we see that the King James translators have never translated it as race, or as dispersion, which I agree is the proper translation here, toward the dispersion in context. The Israelites of the dispersion is what he means here, okay? But it's still the same word ethnos. So instead of translating it as nation or race, which is the better choice, I mean, that's the, if you want to translate it directly from the Greek and be true to the Greek, it's race, comma, nation. Okay, it should never be Gentiles. Okay. All right, verse 10. Only they, wait a minute. Did I just finish 8 or 9? I'm sorry. I think,
you
oh yeah.
Finished 8.
If
verse
not,
9.
Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, meaning Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the,
nation.
It says, heathen. No, folks.
Well, it's, that's what it says.
That's what it says. It's still ethnos.
It says.
What is your scriptures?
It says Gentiles in the
script. Yeah, okay. So
here, I was on the wrong verse. It says heathen.
Right.
Same word.
But my notation here says, and my King James is annotated, it says Gentiles. Right?
Yeah.
Both are wrong. It's to the race common nation, speaking of Israel. Okay? So, and this what Paul is saying here is that James and Peter and John gave the right hand of fellowship to himself, Paul and Barnabas, so that the preachers to the circumcision and the preachers to the uncircumcision were in total accord. But they're both Israelites. They're not non-Israelites in any way, shape, or form that we're talking about here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do, or anxious to do, to help the poor. Remember, the very first sermon that Yahshua gave in the synagogue of Capernaum, the assembly at Capernaum, was he quoted a chapter of Isaiah, which preached to the, you know, give alms to the poor, get the prisoners out of prison, etc., etc., do good to the needy. That was the verse that Yahshua quoted. And so they're preaching the same message. But this is a national message, not a universal message. Verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. And this is a story that's told in the book of Acts. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the, here's the word, Gentiles again. It's the same word, ethnos. Did eat with the dispersed. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. All right, give me your interpretation of this verse. We've only got about 7 minutes left for today.
Before some came from Jacob, he was eating with the nations.
Yeah.
Those that had
dispersed
come to
tribes.
Jerusalem to hear the good news.
The uncircumcised
but once
Israelites.
They came, mm-hmm. He began to withdraw and separate himself in fear of those of the circumcision.
Okay.
There was a little click even then within the new Christians
of Judah.
Of the circumcised and those that have been living in foreign countries and never been circumcised, but still were of Israel.
That's right. We're still talking about Judahites here of the circumcision.
Right.
Who demanded.
Paul called him out on it.
Right. They demanded physical circumcision. And many of these, Paul admonishes that they haven't accepted Yahshua as the Redeemer. He reminded them that the promise was that all 12 tribes would be redeemed, circumcised or uncircumcised. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And that these Judahites didn't want to accept that. And even Peter, was ashamed to accept
that is hypocrisy. Because they were going against the saving grace of Yeshua Messiah.
Amen. Because that promise was given before the law was given.
That's right.
Okay.
And all of Israel, circumcised and uncircumcised, is covered in that covenant.
That's right. Okay. That's what verse 12 means. Verse 13, and the other, it says Jews here. Oh, man, we can't do a long dissertation about Jews, but here it means Judahites, okay?
Yeah.
And the other Judahites dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That means hypocrisy, as you just pointed out, okay? Now,
correct.
And here, Pastor Steve, is my opinion of the subject matter here. The house of Judah, which includes the Judahites and the Benjaminites, who had been practicing circumcision for all these centuries, could feel a natural resentment that, hey, we've been practicing the law for all these centuries. Now, Paul, you're telling us that these uncircumcised Israelites are going to now be our equals? We must accept them as equals?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. That's what Paul is telling him. Yep. They're your equals because they've been redeemed just as you have.
Yeah.
Right? Well, no. So you can understand they're the kind of elitism that the Judahites, and not we're not talking about Jews here. We're talking about Judahites and Benjaminites, that they would have, you know, a natural resentment because, well, we obeyed the law. Why are they given the same, reward that we're being given, and they never obeyed the law, and we did. Okay. And then Paul reminds them, hey, this promise was made before the law of circumcision was given. So that's the way it is. Okay. Yahweh can do as he pleases, right? But why are you fussing about this? Aren't you just glad to be redeemed?
That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 14, but when I saw that they are not walking straight according to the truth of the good news, I said to Kepha before them all, if you, being a Judahite, live as the nations of dispersion and not as the Judahites, why do you compel the nations of dispersion to live as Judahites?
Right. So why are you demanding that they be circumcised?
Come from all over from foreign countries and hadn't been following
the ritual circumcision.
And they were coming back to the law. Now, what does he ask? He asks for repentance.
Yes.
And turning away and coming back to me, you return to me. And that's what these people were doing. They were returning.
Yes. And forcing them to accept ritual circumcision after the blood sacrifices had been abolished at the cross was something that Peter just didn't understand was no longer necessary. Okay? Peter himself did not know this. Or did not understand this, but Paul made Peter to understand this, and Peter finally saw the light.
He was being a legalist, just trying to do that.
Right.
Verse 15, we Judahites by nature, and not of the dispersed nations, sinners, because they had been worshiping pagan gods.
Yes, they had.
They were coming back to Yahweh worship. Know that a man is not declared right by works of Torah, but through belief, that implies action,
right,
in Yeshua, Messiah, even as we have believed in Messiah Yeshua, in order to be declared right by belief in Messiah and not by works of Torah. Because by works of Torah, no flesh shall be declared right. It is the blood of the final Passover lamb that cleans you up. And
right,
these
the last
from
sacrifice.
Foreign lands that were former pagans, even though they were Israelites, were coming under the blood of the Lamb, and they were righteous through the actions of Yeshua Messiah, not their own actions.
That's correct. So that's what Paul is trying to say. By works of the law, he meant that your own actions in performing circumcision, slaughtering lambs, giving alms, all of these things. Yeah, they're righteous, but the redemption was given freely without price.
That's right. And there's people that have donated to the poor. They're rich people, and they've donated and done this and done that, but they do it as a show.
Right.
And that's not going to get them into heaven. You can't buy the doors open.
Right.
You have to let the doors be opened by the blood of the Lamb. And if you are not cleansed, you will not get in, regardless of your ancestry.
Okay. All right. We have just run out of time, Pastor Steve. Thanks for joining me again today. And we'll pick up this discussion of works of the law next time. There's a lot more to be said about this. All right. Thank you, Pastor Steve. We'll see you next week. Praise Yahweh. See you next time.
Shalom Aleichem. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom. Okay. Ha ha.